You are listening to.
Listening to.
You are listening to.
Black is.
Black is.
Black is.
Black is.
Black is.
BlackIsOnline.com.
I ain't gonna make this a sports show, but as you didn't know, you checking out the Black is Break. It's an all-woman podcast. Casey, Toria, Alicia, Helena. Just throwing that out there.
I love it too. Break!
I'll start with the initial topic. Should women be allowed to wear the crown, parentheses, publicly, and lead the community?
I think that's a resounding yes. It's the question is, who's going to do it?
Yeah, is there, okay, the question would be, would, and I get you, if you want to make it strictly for black community, you can, would the black community fully follow, I don't want to say a woman, a female MLK, but somebody on that level?
No, because there's men that have issues with women power struggle in relationships.
You say no, then I want to know why not.
Because of the men?
I mean, as a guy, it wouldn't be just about the men. I like the men is a major struggle, but I would think there is a percentage, I don't know how large a percentage is, I'd like to know, of women who would be like, no.
No, actually, you're right.
How many? Yeah, if it would be like, how many women would say no? If you find all the men vote and they vote, nah, we're not following. What do the females do?
Yeah.
We barely speak, let alone.
Right. Like, why she get to be in charge?
Right.
We have plenty of issues
amongst
ourselves to expect that we would follow somebody, because then it'd get emotional. I think that's the biggest issue, is why and how she...
And we're too comfortable. As much foolishness is going on right now, as far as the black community is concerned, we still are not in enough of a struggle for us to band together behind somebody.
We might be inspired by her.
Right.
We may respect her.
Yeah.
We may, you know.
Yeah.
I wouldn't even say admire, because that's even hard to imagine, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And us coming together as women to admire one woman. But follow? I don't know. But as I said that, and she's by no means in my book like a community leader. I think Oprah is as close as we gonna get to having a mass following of African-American women. Unless they're trying to heal us. Like Ayana, you know. So if they're trying to heal us, then we'll listen. But it's just hard to.
Yeah. It's interesting. We can accept a black woman in a leadership role coming from a spiritual perspective.
Mm-hmm.
Spiritual, not religious.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because, Ayana could come on and, I mean.
Masses. Right. Beloved.
Right.
And we let her call us beloved. Right, but out in public, and somebody be like, "Honey," you be like, "In this bar, call me honey."
Who are you?
Yeah,
I don't know.
I feel as though at this point in American society, I guess not society, though, as American society, women are now at the point where they can and wear the king's crown. They're at the point women can go back and forth and kind of have a choice of, I can either wear my queen crown or I can challenge and wear the king crown. And women are doing it now, with more women in households, leading households, and a lot of the quote unquote independent movement, whatever that term means. How do you think, with that possibility, and a lot of women are willing to wear the king crown, how many women actually realize that on the opposite end, I'm like, then you'd be asking the person who wears the king's crown, which he only can wear the king's crown, if he relinquishes that title, are you going to feel some kind of way about him? Like, is it like, oh, you know what? Now that you're not king no more, you don't look that popping. You know, now, like, I can do it. You know, what
you... Are you asking, like, if a man chooses to be Stedman over Oprah, will the woman be all right with that?
That's what's happening now. That's, to me, that's one of the effects of women being like, all right, I'm wearing, you know, I'm bringing home the bacon, I'm wearing the pants, that some men would be like, all right, I'll be that, fine. We switching roles? Fine, we switching roles. And I'll just be the person at the house, kicking it, you know, basically spending your money so I can go out and look fly. And
so the house husband.
Yeah, I mean, you got more guys who are like, I'll let the woman do that and just live off the woman. And a lot, you know, as men, we're like, the real men are like, hell no, I ain't doing that.
Right.
But, you know, women, it's just that effect. And I'm like, I see why guys would do it. Like, guys have always been like, oh, I got this chick, you know, she paying for my stuff. And, you know, that's the life. But, I mean, actually, like, oh, you can do this.
Women that.
Yeah, as like a, for like a marriage. Like, for a 40-year, this is a relationship you're going to be in. Like, wow, like, we've really gotten to that point?
Well, there's a lot of men that are being kept right now. Mm-hmm. And I think the disproportionate amount of available men to available women is making that circumstance more popular, I'm guessing. Because I'm hearing about it more frequently. Just, you know, women that are just happy to have a warm body. Yeah. So it don't matter if he's not doing what he's doing. I'm not saying anybody I know personally.
Right.
He's around you.
Right. But that it exists. You know what I mean? So it's just like, I don't care if he's not doing X, Y, and Z, just as long as he's here. And
I've always said that the best relationship is a relationship agreed upon amongst the two people that are in the relationship.
Exactly.
And it is definitely changing ties now. I don't know if I would say the house husband, but definitely at least equal. The incomes are becoming a lot more equal. And like you said, the shortage of men, because, I mean, just what are we, 10 to 1? And then some of them are gay. And then, you know, we have our issue. I don't know what it is, but the pool is getting smaller and smaller. And so, yes, there are a lot more women settling. There are a lot more women coming with the conclusion that, yes, I got to do my thing anyway. So, of course, a companion would be nice. I mean, trust me, I've had that conversation with myself. I just want to know if I feel like going somewhere, there's someone there to go with me. I've always been able to take care of myself. But like you said, that independent movement, it can go way left or it can go way right. But I definitely think there's those relationships are happening more and more. I think there are a lot more people that are, you know, definitely okay with it and comfortable with it. Publicly, and the men, I don't know. I have an issue when the man decides to just accept it like that. I mean, I understand. Trust me, if I want to be a working woman and you want to stay home and take care of the kids, that's fine. There's no kids in the situation. Yeah. I mean, we got to.
It's a little different.
We got a different conversation.
Why are you staying home?
Yeah. The house is going to be playing that much. I mean, is dinner cooked every single night? But like I said, if I don't ever have to cook again in my life, I'm fine. Mm-hmm. And so if I have a man who wants to cook and I come home and I'm pampered, I'm fine with that. But yeah, you know, I mean, maybe that's because I haven't had the other way.
I think the on point thing, like exactly what you said, is it's between the two people. So it's like if they're both comfortable with it and they are fine with whatever, you know, situation that they worked out. Now, if a dude is, if you have the understanding that he would be working and then all of a sudden he's not and you're carrying all the weight, that's a different story to me. But if it's something that you go in and you understand that this is the role I'm going to play and this is the role he's going to play, then, I mean, to me, I'm like, do your thing, like whatever you want.
I don't know how successful that can be because it takes a particular, a man of character and a man that prides himself on being a man struggles if the situation comes like that, right? Mm-hmm. Like if you're not working or for whatever reason and you're down, I've found that, you know, some men struggle with that. You know, that's the other end of the bargain that, you know, I hate saying the intimidation factor because everybody's like, oh, I'm single because they're intimidated by me. Mm-hmm. But no, there's some truth to that.
Oh, absolutely.
There's some absolute truth to the idea that she can't possibly love me because she's a success at work. Mm-hmm. If you think about it, because the only thing you're attributing it to is that I'm a success in my career.
Yeah.
She's high paid and successful in her career, therefore she couldn't love me. Mm-hmm. And when you say it like that, it makes absolutely no sense. Mm-hmm. But that idea exists too. You know, like they look at what you have and go, oh, you don't need me.
Mm-hmm. I think that's you know, that's it.
You've got a home, you've got a car, you got your bills paid. What do you need me for?
Yeah, it's like their value and proposition.
I surrender all. I surrender all. Will that work? But yeah, that piece right there.
Yeah, it's like they don't see where they are of value to you. And that word right there, need, because mm-hmm. in my experience, men need to feel needed mm-hmm. in some capacity. I don't think sexual need covers all the bases in a long-term serious relationship.
Yeah. And I think they define need so narrowly. And I won't say all men, but there's a narrow definition of need because, no, I may not need you to pay the bills.
Exactly.
But I do need someone to come home to in the evening if I've had a rough day. I do need someone to support me. I do need someone to encourage me.
Right.
But sometimes I think there's a narrow vision of needs. Like her needs are all being met. And we're talking about my survival being met.
Right, right.
But everything else, which eventually tears at the survival, is not necessarily being met. Like, mm-hmm. they're not passing that out at the job.
Right.
You know?
And what's crazy is about that is that how many men will you hear in conversation talk about how, you know, we're men, so we're logical. Women, y'all are so emotional. But it's like if you feel that way, then how come you can't understand with your logical self that the emotional part needs to be met
and nurtured. Yeah.
Right. You know, exactly. And even if you feel like you're not needed to hold down situations financially, emotionally, there's so much that you could provide that's meaningful.
Yeah.
And valuable.
Way more meaningful than, you know, the physical aspect of it or the financial piece.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I was talking to my younger brother because he's in a relationship. Shout out to you, Al, if you're listening. And, you know, he's in love and happy. And I told him, I said, you know what, brother, this is what I don't want you to do. Don't wait until all of your shit is together.
Right.
To move forward in the relationship. If you love the woman and you feel like she's holding you down and you guys have a future together, then go on and do the damn thing. Right. Because you're never going to really be all that together.
We're together.
It's going to always be something.
Yeah.
You know, it's going to always be something. So go ahead, make plans and set goals together and build them together. I said, y'all will appreciate them more together. Mm-hmm. But don't do that. Because I hear that from more men than I just had
all this shit figured out. They have to have it figured out before they take that next step. I guess that's where their logicalness comes from. I don't know.
We are scared to take that.
And that's where maybe that our emotion drives us.
What's up, y'all? This is Malk Dees, and you are listening to the Black Is Break.
I think how men are socialized, there are rules to what they're supposed to be.
Yeah.
That isn't natural for every man across the board, but the pressure, and if I'm looking at black community specifically, because our community is extremely homophobic, even now, even with our generation, and it's just like, you got to be hard and macho and alpha. More black folks holler about alpha males than any other group that I can recall. And it just... it's interesting to me to see brethren who are not naturally that way fight to project that image, especially amongst other men.
See, that's so unattractive to me.
Yeah, because it's obvious.
Yeah, like I would rather you be yourself. But I mean, I think we're kind of coming to really discussing gender roles in a sense and how they work. Because if men weren't put into that specific gender role, then maybe they wouldn't be so intimidated by a successful one. Because maybe they would see their place as more than just the breadwinner, you know? And so, but because we kind of pigeonhole them into this certain role... it does. It kind of puts us at a disadvantage in that sense, because if that's not what we need, that specific role, then what, you don't need a man at all, you know, but that's not the case.
Yeah.
So it's interesting. And I do think that as we're moving forward, it seems like at least we're challenging the rules more than in the past, you know? And I think that's a positive thing because it's like, look, if guys can't be the ones earning the money all the time and we have to do it sometimes or whatever, that's fine, but we still need each other, you know? Right. So it's like, if we have to reevaluate how it's going to work together, then let's do that, you know? But it doesn't mean it just doesn't work, you know?
Yeah.
And that's a trick. When we talk about their roles being pigeonholed, I just thought about it. As women, I don't recall being told what my role was other than you get in and you fit in. So if you're going to have to leave your house, leave the house, you have to leave the house.
We have more freedom.
If you have to be submissive to your husband, then you need to be submissive. Mm-hmm. We have more flexibility. Mm-hmm. We were told you become what you need to become as opposed to here's your role as a black woman.
Right.
Because you don't know what your role was going to be until you get into the situation. You may be single and the head of your household. You may be single raising kids and the head of your household. Mm-hmm. You may be married and be taught to submit. So we were given so many. We just like on guard. Whatever thrown at you, pick it up. Like to me, that's the definition for black women. Mm-hmm. Like whatever comes your way, handle it. And that's where you see us today. Whereas the man was told, here's your role specifically.
Yeah. This. Provide.
We're adjusting better, I think.
I'm trying to think back to when I was a child and how it was what image was given to me as far as what role I should have. I mean, I've been working since I was 8.
Right. Yeah.
And so I'm like, okay, well, was that the role that was taught to me? Because my mom was, I mean, she had her own business, but she cooked every night. Well, not every night. We had food every single night, cooked on the weekends and had the big meals. And I wonder if, I don't know if she was saying, I want you to not be me and be just completely free and do everything and however and go for whatever you want. I just, now that you say that, I really try to think what role was put on me. Mm-hmm. I don't think there ever was. My mom always said, if you make it past elementary school, I know you'll always be okay. Because you have that. Yeah. And I don't know. I don't know what role was I assumed to have.
I think I just... Because, Helena and I are cousins, real cousins, not play cousins. We grew up in in the same family. I think from watching my mom and watching my grandmother, it was never said to me directly, this is what you're supposed to do. They had their ideas in regards to once you get into a relationship, things that you should do. I just think I kind of watched them.
Mm-hmm.
My mom especially, because she's probably, I mean, she's like the most gracious person ever, but work all day, come home, prepare a meal. No complaining either. Yeah. Like, she just come in, put on her cute little apron and...
Neither did my mom. I was just talking about that to someone.
Yeah, get to it. And I'm still amazed today at like the kind of meals she comes up with. I feel... She always tells me, baby, you make such good food. And I'm like, you think so? Because I'm like, you're so creative. Like, I'll come into the kitchen, you got a whole chicken boiling in the pot. And an hour later, it's soup or stew or something. And I'm like, what? Like, that's not how I think to cook. You know what I mean? But she can go in the fridge and whatever's there, she can make something, some semblance of a meal out of it. But she's always done that. And I remember being young and being frustrated because my dad would come home and just lamp up. And I'm like, why is he get to just come home and chill and you got to come home and cook? And she's like, oh, baby, okay, he works longer, he works harder, whatever her reasoning was behind it. But what I picked up from that relationship and from watching her was just the graciousness of it all. And there was a joy that she seemed to express in maintaining her house, preparing a good meal, and making sure my dad was happy and fed and got up every day and went to work without complaint and came home and did what it is he needed to do. And they've been together for a long time. So something in that, in that equation definitely works. So I try to emulate that, although I'm so not near her level at all. But I just took that as, okay, because I do like to cook. That'll just be what it is I do. Now, if Chris was Chef Chris, I would be sitting back eating the meal right now. You know, if I'm like, okay, I'll clean the kitchen since you could.
Right.
But, you know, I just, that's the only way I got it. It wasn't a definite, this is what you have to do, but you just kind of see it. Mm-hmm. And my granny was the same way.
My mom very, I swear, you just talked about my mom. Same story and everything. And now that I think about it, I wonder, did my mom do those things because it was her passion or because taking care of the family was her passion?
Yeah.
And I think about it now. I've called my mom an enabler. She's been an enabler forever. Everybody has to be happy. Everybody has mm-hmm. to have everything that they need. And I'm like, are you missing out on what you want mm-hmm. in yeah. the meantime? And yeah. I think that's the one key difference between she and I is I take care of me first. Always have. Mm-hmm. I believe in putting the oxygen mask on me first. Mm-hmm. Then everybody else. She will do to a fault. Mm-hmm. And whenever when you brought up, you know, how when you brought up, Kim, how we get the role, either you'll do what you saw or you'll do the complete opposite.
Right. Yeah. Exactly.
And so I sit here and I'm like, okay, this part of what you did, I love. This part absolutely won't happen.
ain't gonna happen. You learn what not to do.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And it's so my best friend has always said, bad relationships are the best relationships because you learn what you do not want. Mm-hmm. Everybody's good on a good day. Right. It's those bad days if you can deal with that.
Yeah. Right.
And so when I really think about that role, I guess it did come from that because I took the opposite part as far as wanting to cater to everybody all right. the time. Mm-hmm. I saw the opportunity to be able to do me first because I've always thought that's what she was missing, was putting herself first mm-hmm. and took the complete opposite of that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now, granted, I have no family for she's been married for almost 40 years now and I have no one. So, I mean, you know, it works out differently, I guess.
But I think that's a common problem amongst women, you know, that we put everybody before our needs.
Definitely.
And put ourselves, I mean, for you to say that you mastered that, that's awesome. Because I think that's where we struggle a whole lot. And that, it turns into like the broken women that we see. There's so many broken women, but it doesn't come off as broken. You know what I mean? Initially, it comes out in different ways of I'm this independent. I don't need nobody. Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. It comes across as like, I'm messing with nobody else. Like there's so many faces of that brokenness, but it comes from there in the first place because you're just pouring and pouring and pouring and pouring to the point of depletion. Mm-hmm. You know, you have nothing else to offer of yourself. So it comes out that way. And the other thing, when you said, you know, women not taking care of themselves, prime example, today I'm at the spa and there was a sister. She kept her robe on the entire time. Now you can wear swimsuits in there, you can get naked. And she on, no, it was at Burke Williams. Yeah. Yeah. So she sat on the side of the jacuzzi and just put her feet in. And her girlfriend kept telling her, you know, come on, come on. And she said, I don't know how to relax. I don't know how to relax. And it was because my friend and I, we started talking to her like, girl, have a lemon water. It's free. And the fruit is free. You can take whatever you want. But she couldn't even get out of her robe to just sit in the jacuzzi and just enjoy. She was sitting like she was waving her feet in the pool. And she said, I don't know how to relax. And she said, I imagine like she must have had a baby like 6 years ago. And she could, because she then said, she was like, it's been 6 years since I just relaxed. Mm-hmm. So I took that to be either, you know, she got a, you know, a kid or, you know, maybe a new job, whatever, something. But could not. And I was like, wow, is that us? You know, and she was young, you know, in her 30s, mm-hmm. young, and could not just jump in the jacuzzi for 10 minutes, 15 minutes. Mm-hmm. Her friend is coercing her like, come on, girl, come on. Yes.
I can imagine. Completely identify at this point being like 3 months postpartum.
Right.
Because it's not easy. And I get up and I look at myself in the mirror and I'm like, gee, I told Chris right before y'all came. I said, okay, so tomorrow I'm going to disappear for a few hours and I'm going to come back in with some shopping bags and you're going to say, where did this money come from? I said, because I'm looking at myself and I don't care for frumpy Kim, mm-hmm. you know, but new baby puts me automatically in frumpy Kim mode. I'm tired. I don't feel like getting cute.
That's totally reasonable. Yeah. I mean,
but it's reasonable, but I don't like it. Right. You know what I mean? I don't like it. I like to look at myself and like what I see. Cause then I'm also thinking, well, what does he see when he sees me? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And because I put that expectation on myself and just professionally, mm-hmm. you know, when I'm meeting with clients, I don't want them to be like, for real? You know what I mean? Like, get it together, please. And so I'm like, just for me, for my peace of mind, I have to do that. But it's the whole idea of like putting self first, mm-hmm. it becomes impossible with kids. It just becomes impossible.
Now, here's my question. Mm-hmm. Was it ever possible? Because everybody says, I'll change if I have kids. I don't see that happening. I've done it so long this way, I wonder that.
Right.
It'll change.
I think you don't have a choice.
Right? Yeah, I mean, you don't. Physically and emotionally, you're going to go through so much change that you're not going to have any choice. And you're going to see this little being, and you're going to go immediately to from me to how can I make sure you don't die?
Right.
My main concern is making sure that you are alive. Like, literally, that's your survival for the kid. For the first, I say, 6 to 9 months is the most important thing to you. I got to make sure you don't roll off of nothing. I got to make sure nothing pours on you. I got to make sure you eat and everything. All of that, that becomes the focus. And with one kid, it's a little bit easier. I always tell Chris, I said, once we have two kids, we're going to be outnumbered. Two kids need four parents. It's just, it's yeah. crazy. And so, cause I'm like you in that sense. Cause I was raised by myself as the only child. So it's always been me first. All, even in a relationship, baby, tell you, I'm selfish. I'm sorry, but I'm selfish. But with the kids, and it's really because they're looking at you like, what's up?
And you're all they have.
They're, and they're totally dependent on you. Yeah. Like with Isley now, if we're in the room or if I'm in the room and she's awake, she's going to follow me all around the room. And if I'm leaving the room, she's looking like, exactly where are you going? Because I can't move and I'm stuck and what's next?
You're my source of food.
Right. You're my food. You're everything. You know, if I'm cold, you're going to take care of that. If I'm wet, you're going to take care of that. And Eli was the same way. And even at, he's at the age now where what he's most concerned with, and you can tell me if I'm wrong, but approval. He wants our approval for everything. So he's seeking validation constantly. That's cute. Yeah, it's sweet, you know, but it's just like, mommy, look at this. Like today we at the Black History Program. He's trying to show me a magic trick in the middle of the program. I'm like, baby, we in the program. You got to sit down. But no, close your eyes. Watch. It's all about wanting. They need you.
Right.
They need you. And so.
But I think the best thing you've done, and Chris, in that regard, is you said you recognize it and you said, tomorrow I'm going to go do this for 3 hours, 4 hours, and he supports that. And I think that's the piece we have to be able to do without feeling guilty.
Yeah.
Without and it reminded me of an episode of Oprah like years ago where this woman came out and she basically said what you said about having kids. And she's like, and I'm tired. And they gave me a fake illusion of what it was going to be like, and every day is not beautiful.
Yeah.
And I think the best supporters of that can only be women.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Giving each other the space to say, like, I'm tired.
Yeah, because you are.
You know, and I need some help. Yeah. You know, can you come and watch for the... But we've that been especially. Part of the role that this silently given to us, this secret rule, but agreed upon rule, is that we can carry and bear everything. Right. I'm the strong woman. And we all get tired. And we're like, I got to keep going. I got to keep going. That goes to the men that we need, right? You need a man to be like, stop, slow down, pace yourself, right? Mm-hmm. That's way more important than you paying my light bill. I'd rather sit in the dark, relaxed, than sitting in the light, tensed as hell and stressed out and not feeling like I'm worth something.
That's the truth.
You know? Mm-hmm. And so I think we have to start as women, start supporting each other in that aspect and saying, like, no, you're not frumpy. Like, you know, you're tired right now and you relax and you build, but we can't support each other like that because we're putting these, you know, these eyes on each other and what we expect you to do. And, you know, I handled everything, you know. Girl, you wearing that when I was pregnant, I did this. Like, no, slow down. You know, like, we are not superwoman. I can't be superwoman every damn day.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I can't even be her half of the year.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And the it need to try to.
I was going
to
say that. I'm sorry. Like, you had, I just had wrote that down about women having to carry this quote-unquote strength role that, especially for Black women specifically, there's this, it's almost like if you're not a strong Black woman, you whack. Like, oh, you not strong? Well, I want to fuck with you then. Well, you know, but then there's men that are like, oh, you're not strong. All right, let me take it. Yeah.
And I think that's where women see it the most. like women afraid to not be strong all the time are afraid of just that piece right there of being taken advantage of, like the kindness for weakness kind of a thing. And their strength in bouncing back from somebody that did take you for granted. You know, there's a strength right there. Like, yeah, I got double crossed, but I bounced back.
Because we've seen that too. You can be in a relationship with a partner that takes you for granted. That, because I do know in that regards, I'm lucky as hell. Chris carries his weight and then some, so I can get the sleep that I need, so I can take some time away to go shopping or get a massage. God help me, I'm getting one sooner than later. But it's just like, you know, I have a family member now who, you know, they're a little bit older than us, but they have two little ones around the same age as our kids, and everything's on her.
I've seen that a lot.
And I'm looking at him like, you don't get off your ass and help her,
right?
And that's part of the whole like re-evaluating the roles, because the guy needs to get over that now his role has to be more of maybe not as much as what he thought before the breadwinner, but more of helping out. Because if I'm working, then I can't be everything at home as well. Right. And so if you're working, then you have to help out. I mean, it's just the fact. That's just how it works.
Right. Guys haven't figured that out yet. We haven't, I know. We haven't figured out. The women have, the role has shifted. It's almost like for America when men went off to war. But to me, with our community, it's a flashback of slavery. Specifically more of the time than now, because it feels like the women's, like the men are actually being taken away. There's a large chunk. I mean, you got the trifling ones, you got the gay ones, you know, all that. It's, you know, unfortunately, a lot of that's out there. But the amount of men has dwindled to even have the opportunity to say whether a guy is a good or bad one. It's like, I don't get that option because half these men are already taken off the board for jail, death, all of that. So women, and because, you know, sisters are built like that. We said they strong. Saw that and were like, you know, same as slavery. We have to take care of everything now. The men are getting taken away. I can't let the family go.
Right.
And it's been like that now. I think men, unfortunately, don't. We take advantage of the fact that, like you said, with having a baby, there is a level of that that we will never understand because we didn't carry the seed for 9 months. We helped create it, but we can leave. We are our everyday lives in terms physically being able to go and do shit doesn't change at all.
Right.
We don't have the, you know, throwing up in, you know, early months and all of that and can't do all, you know, this and, you know,
and just the physical, like a woman's body is attached to the bed. Like, if Isley's hungry, physically, I know that.
Right.
Because my body responds to something that's happening to her. And it's the craziest sensation ever. But I'm like, oh, she needs to eat.
Right.
And it's not because she's doing anything. It's because I feel it.
Right.
You know, and it's just, it's, yeah, you're right. It's something that you guys can't understand. And now I'm about to throw a complete and total monkey wrench into this conversation and switch it up. I was thinking about a conversation I was having with a girlfriend the other day, and she was saying her husband's friends have all married white women specifically, not just interracial relationships in general, but specifically white women. And they're all black men. And she was like, we all went to college together and they always dated black women. But now at this point for marriage, they're cool on any black woman ever at all. And she was like, I question the authenticity of it. Like, it's one thing if you truly are in a relationship with somebody you love. But, and the thing is, I don't know the men, so I can't say one way or another if it's love or if it's not love. But she was like, I'm just suspect. She was like, I'm the only one of his friends. I'm the only black wife Wow. In the circle. And she was like, when we were all in, this very odd. Mm. She was like, when I was in college, when we were in college, we would have never envisioned this is what our adult circle would look like. But this is what it looks like.
Wow. Have you guys seen that show? It just came out. It's a Jewish girl marrying the black guy. Mm-mm. I forgot the name of the show, but he's cousins of Andre Harrell.
Okay.
He's a comedian. I can't think of his name, but they just aired the other night, and it was so like not because he's black and she's Jew, that's not the problem. The show opens up with him, this black man from North Carolina, saying, you know, why she's the queen of his eye as a Jewish woman, because she wakes up every morning, she makes breakfast, she makes him smoothies. And he says, you know, black women don't do that. Black women are like, get up, like, we, and this is how the show opens up. What channel is this on? Bravo, TLC, one of those, like,
one of the reality
shows. Oh, it's a reality show. Oh, no wonder. Okay.
Kosher Soul. Kosher.
Oh, I thought it was actual, like, Soul. Show. I'm like, wow.
Yeah, I thought it was a sitcom. I'm like, dang, edgy. Okay.
No, it's a reality. Kosher Soul.
Reality.
And he opens up with, that's his very opening line. Like, that's how we're introduced to. Ignorant. Is it Lifetime? We're introduced to him saying, she, you know, makes him smoothies. And then they do another clip and they're talking to her. And she's been with him for some years. And she says she's been more tolerable of the things that he does and black women wouldn't be. Right. And then, you know, the show goes on with him just samboing.
Such generalization.
Yeah. He wants her to cook catfish and, you know, she doesn't want to cook it because it's not kosher, but she wants to cook it for him. But it was just, to me, it was like, listen, I have no problem whatsoever with interracial dating.
Right.
At all. Who knows, you know? But when you have to take down everybody else to justify why you love the person beside you,
that's it.
That's problematic. You know what I mean? Like, if you love that Jewish girl, you love her because she makes the best smoothies, not because other black women don't make smoothies.
Right.
You know, it's like, sit your country bumpkin ass down. Like, and now I'm the angry black woman for saying that to you. But no, because your ass is really on some country bumpkin type mentality. You don't have to justify being with this person by taking other people down. And I find that to be what you hear a lot, you know, men, black men justifying why they are with a white woman. You shouldn't be saying anything outside about how she loves you and how she makes you feel. There should be no comparison. It would be no different than saying, I'm with him because my other ex did this. You're comparing her to your exes and that's why you're with her? Like, that woman should be able to stand alone and have your heart as your woman. That's it. Leave the other people out of it. And that's the part, I think, that bothers me. Now, I don't even think, I know it bothers me.
Yeah.
You know?
And I think that adds to the numbers of what Chris is talking about. There just being not enough men. Because, I don't know. It just, that part of it seems odd to me. I see a lot of men, but I hear a lot of excuses coming out of a lot of men's mouths, too, as to what they're doing or not doing.
Right.
You know what I mean? Because there's a large amount of single men, mm-hmm. you know, and a lot of them are successful. They not mm-hmm. all, you know, Idris Elba in this motherfucker, but.
Mm. No.
But
100%. A very, very big issue with that is, where are they? Because we say they're there, and where do we go to find them? Where does that connection happen? How do we search them out? Because I think we women have some of the same, not the same, but we have stereotypes that we hold against the black men out there too. Mm, you know, they're all dogs. They, you know, they just cheat and do this and do that. And right. We make up those thoughts in our head, whether they're true or not, same way they do for us. Right. Let me go find mm-hmm. another type man who's not going to cheat on me, as opposed to, you know, right. Let me go find a white woman that's going to deal with all my BS.
Or make me smoothies.
Yeah, I'm like, how many non-black women make smoothies? I'm like, are you trying to chick that makes smoothies? And that probably make good smoothies. I'm like,
we all make smoothies. Shit, everybody got a Nutribullet mm-hmm. around this place.
That show is obviously ridiculous. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, even just the name of it, it's obvious the whole point is going to be a black guy and a Jewish woman.
And he's like, converting. Oh.
If that's what their relationship's based on, then there's issues already, you know?
Right. He's converting. you know, and I'm just like, get some balls, dude.
Yeah.
Right. But I think going back to that, and I'll admit this to all the listeners because they say black women have issues. We do. But we need to be loved upon.
Yeah.
And I think that's what happened. I think it's Malcolm X that said the quote that the most unprotected woman, the most unprotected person in American society is the black woman.
Yeah.
You know? And so I know it may be hard. And I'm not, when I say love us, I don't mean fall in love with us. I mean love us. We need that from our black men. Mm-hmm. You know, and until we get that, I think it's going to constantly be that battle.
Yeah, y'all carried a huge part of that. Like, man, right. We just, you know, we get to do what we want. And it's almost like having a woman who would just be like, all right, whatever you don't do, I'll do. And that's fine. You can just do whatever you want. And it, I just think. Well, it's because I'm not, I don't have, I like black women. I'm like, I was always the impression when I was still single, I was like, if y'all don't want them, fine. Like,
right.
Yeah. Leave the pool big for me, then I don't care.
Right.
For
but
me?
You're, like, cool and chill. I mean, I feel like you're, like, yeah. Not, like, to be stereotypical about other guys, but you're very comfortable with yourself. Like, yeah. You know, like, you know who you are. You're confident. Yeah, I mean, and a guy that's like that, they like what they like, and that's what, you know what I mean? Like, that's how it goes. So I feel like it makes sense that you would have that mentality, definitely.
Yeah. You know, I got my mother instilled a lot of pride in my race since so, and I, you know, I see it, and like my mom and my mother-in-law are completely different. Their mom, my mother-in-law is basically could be a preacher's wife. And then best, but you know, but that's because my dad's grandmother was a preacher's wife.
They're
so and they're very similar to walk, how they care. Nothing wrong with that.
Yeah,
I'm right. Like, that's cool. And my mom is just independent. I hate the independent because I'm like, I have a daughter, like, why is it that a woman who uses her, and I this was brought up before in the survival skills, like, you know, like, okay, so I'm not going to teach my daughter how to survive in the wilderness.
Right.
Like, okay, my son somehow is going to get trapped out there and all that, but I'm not going to teach my daughter, because that's everybody, it's their daughter, to make it. Like, what if something happens and you got to cook, you got to wash your own? I mean, that's part of it. Like,
right, you know,
and I don't like that. It's always independent. Like, oh, she's getting the job and working, right. You know, she's paying her own. Like, okay. So she's paying her rent.
Right, that's a
yeah, so she's paying her rent, her phone.
No.
She got her own. I'm like,
you independent,
why?
Huh?
But why?
Yeah.
You know, maybe because I'm a different guy. I'm like, why do I have to provide all of that shit for you? And I have to do all of that for you and do it for me, too?
Yeah.
Like, damn. Like, okay, you got your own. Cool. Like, you live like on your own. That's all right. You can take care of yourself. Like, with me and Kim, you know, I wanted a life partner. So I'm like, look, I'm going to fall. Like, that's going to happen.
You want
somebody
who can
be there.
Yeah.
I don't have a problem where we're climbing up a mountain, and I guess I brought it up, but I guess now that Game of Thrones is coming on, and I'm not a Game of Thrones watcher, but like climbing that huge ass mountain, if we're climbing and we're like we on a rope, we got to make this together, and something happens and I fall, do I want my woman to just fall with me? Because that's what I feel like.
We'll fall to pieces.
Yeah, that's what I'm asking.
We'll fall to pieces.
Yeah, that's what I'm asking you to do, like
right.
As a community, like. I don't believe you can take me the rest of the way if that is what needs to happen to get there. You know, maybe you climb 4 minutes and lead. I help get back up and then I climb up and then I keep and then I take it.
Right.
But if there's a chance where that doesn't happen and you have to take the lead and get us to the finish line, fine.
Right.
So what? But men's ego and a lot of that and what's built in. I think it's men's ego because black women do have it bad because you have it on two sides. Like men, we don't have to deal with a gender issue,
right.
Gender inequality. We don't have that problem. Like
right.
We are the gender,
right.
Which why a lot of men feel like women, they all second because we don't complain of gender discrimination like that.
Men run the world.
Right.
And there will be certain privileges that men would have to give up
mm-hmm.
in regards to if and we've been kind of talking about this in circles over the last couple of years. I think our whole crew trying to unpack this whole situation between male and female relationships in the community. If men accepted that the gender role that has been put up on you is not one that you have to accept, that there's some flexibility in there. There's certain privileges you'd have to give up. Like objectifying women to the level that we've been objectified as far as media is concerned, cut that shit out. You know what I mean? But men will never do that. Like I've said at this microphone, how many debates I would get into with men about the way black women were portrayed in music videos, like the stripper image, the stripper right. on a pedestal image,
to the point where we've embraced being strippers,
right? And I was like, why wouldn't you want to protect Thanks, Usher. Black women
right
and say, you know what, every time I see these videos, I don't want to see my sisters out here greased up, naked and dancing. Like, they can look sexy in a completely different fit, you know what I'm saying? And I would get argued down tooth and nail by men. They ain't trying to stop that shit.
I'll tell you exactly why. But this is the other why we don't go beyond it. Do I want to see it go? No. Do I want all of my women to do that? No. A lot of guys won't or can't acknowledge that. Like, look, I like it, but if everybody's doing it, no, I don't like it. Because I'm like, yeah. Guys play that role, that whole, like, you know, damn, I want a nasty girl. And then when you nasty, you're like, yeah.
Right.
I don't know. You know, maybe I want somebody nasty. A little clean. You just like,
who else did you do that with?
Yeah. Right. It's so abundant. I remember going to a male strip club, and I was watching the buku amount of money that the male dancers were making.
It's ignorant.
And, ignorant.
And so. Damn it.
So I'm standing behind the guy that's emceeing, and I'm like, you know what, I'm in the wrong profession. And he says, you're not going to make that kind of money. Mm-mm. He said, men make more than women. And I go, what? And he goes,
even in the strip club.
Here's why. He said, you can get this out of a girl, out of your girlfriend, out of your wife. Men can get this at home, so why would they spend buku money? Women aren't going to get this at home. And I was like, yeah, you're right.
And you know? Can look and tell by, like, okay, I learned this. This is not coming from my own experience, no judgment. But there is a certain proportion of women that are regulars at the strip club, just like there's mm-hmm. men that are regulars at the strip club. Right. But, like, that, for these women, and for the times that I've been to the one black male strip club out here in Los Angeles.
Yes, yes, right. Yes.
Right.
The track.
Shout out to the right
Is
track.
Is it still open?
Yes.
Yep.
Yes.
Friday and Saturday nights, crack it.
Wow.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. Rest in peace to, what's his name?
Oh, he was so fine. Quiet Storm.
Yes, rest in peace, Quiet Storm.
He died?
He was Years killed ago. Outside of the right track.
I feel like I remember him. I mean, I've only been there like once.
He's the only one.
Right? He was like the finest one.
Yeah.
He danced at Gabrielle Union's
bachelorette
party, her first one, to her first husband.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. She gave him like a pub on TV. I was like, what?
Yep.
I was like, yes. My girl.
Quiet Storm or something else. Dr. Feel Good. Dr. Right. Feel Good. Anyway. Taking me back to 2000 and something. Anyway, like, you see, first of all, the men's game.
Yes.
They
on it.
Yeah. When they're done dancing, they come out into the audience and they're looking to see who they can get into a conversation with, give you their actual good government name. You know what I'm saying? And try to spark up a little something with you. I witnessed that. But then you see the women who are the regulars there.
And that are desperate for that. I went, the first time I went, I watched that shit like, oh, hell no. Like, come out and have a drink with you.
Yep.
Talk to you.
Shove their crotch in your face.
Yep.
No, that's me.
Sit on your lap. Put their butt in your face.
Before you even get to that part, though, there's like the game of it all. Like, they come up to you like, hey, Atlanta, you're beautiful. Da, 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 da. So there's a certain kind of woman that's like, I like this attention, and I'm getting it from a star. Because at the moment, he is a star. You know? Mm-hmm. And then all he's doing is like milking you up so you can come back next weekend and the next weekend. Mm-hmm. I've seen women compete.
Yeah.
Like, who's dropping the most ones? Like, what?
It's bananas, the money that the men make.
And women who told, I know women, personally know women, who have emotionally attached themselves to them. with the idea that they have some kind of relationship. You know, it's like, I mean, it ain't like that. I mean, we cool. Meaning, like, he calls me on Wednesday before I show up on Thursday.
Right.
And, yeah.
I had no idea what's going on.
It does.
It goes down.
It does. People that meet them outside of the club. And and the laundry.
That's how much we need to be loved. That's why I'm making the plea to y'all in 2015. Love us. And I don't want nobody writing us back talking about, I don't need to be loved. Yes, you do. I'm not talking about validating us, because I know somebody mixed it up before when I said that. I was like, why do black women need to be validated by black men? Remember Mr. Whoever he was? I can't remember his name now.
Yeah.
It's not about validating us, supporting us.
Yeah.
You know, because we do for black men.
Yeah. And I think that's too, that's where the whole independent thing gets misconstrued. Yeah. Because I remember misconstrued. Did I just say misconstrued?
I was like, okay.
Tired. Misconstrued. Misconstrued. We're going to have to edit that. When
that's because you're tired, girl. You can say misconstrued.
Look, nursing, doing everything else.
Exactly. You tried talking
blood is in a different direction.
Exactly. I remember being frustrated with that with a girlfriend of mine. And this was me post-marriage, post-baby. And us having a debate about those things that were important to us as women. Mm-hmm. And her saying, well, yeah, I mean, you cook and clean, but that's basic stuff. I was like, you're saying it's basic, but you don't do it in your relationships. If it were basic, you would have that base covered in addition to everything else. Well, I'm independent. Da-da-da-da. I'm like, independence shouldn't then take away certain just basic skills. And I think there's definitely been a divide between single women and women in long-term relationships based on that issue right there. Mm-hmm. As if somehow, if you're married, you lack independence, which to me is bullshit. If you're working.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's a whole, you know, doing a whole lot. And at the same time, I think women who are married will sometimes look down their nose at women who are single and independent. Like, what's wrong, boo? What's really wrong with you? Why can't you seem to keep a man? Why can't you seem to get as if somehow it's easy? Because it's not.
Right. But go back to those things about basic skills, like the whole cooking thing. Mm-hmm. I do believe it's been watered down to something basic because, you know, with women trying so hard sometimes to get men, a cooked meal is not valued as much as it used to be, I don't think.
You know, by the man or by the woman? By the man.
When I think about my dating experience, it doesn't seem to be, some will value it, but it doesn't seem to be as valuable.
Okay.
You know, because it happens. You know what I'm saying? Like, you hit me up on Facebook. I hit you up on Facebook. We knew each other in high school. Come over. I'll make a dinner for you. You know, those kind of things happen. So it's right off when, in fact, for me, like preparing dinner is like a basic skill because everybody has to eat. But there's also the love and the work that goes into it.
Yeah.
So to me, it's like, no, that's reserved for someone special. But it doesn't necessarily, you know, because you'll hear a woman like, nigga, just because I cooked you something don't mean you special.
Right.
Right. It's like, oh, well.
Right. Yeah. So. Yeah, it's a whole lot that can be discussed in regard to just the roles. I think, and I've said this before too, I just think couples do better when they play to their strengths and not try to focus on what they're supposed to be doing.
Yeah,
I think that's
key. Yeah.
Just play to where you're strong.
Yeah.
You know?
And be yourself. I mean, I don't know.
That's it for real. Because don't bring your representative to the relationship. That just don't make any sense.
I mean, you're cooking clean for the rest of your life.
Right.
Like, you enjoy it. If you don't, like, you're not going to want to do it forever if that's not you. You know, just be honest with yourself. Like, I'm honest that I'm going to have someone clean my house. Because I'm not doing it. I'm honest. Right. Like, it's just, and I will pay for it. That's why I go to work every day. So that I can afford to have someone clean. Do the things that I don't want to do. You know what I mean?
And if I never have to cook another meal, I promise you I'm fine with that as well.
I'm okay with that too.
I am fine with that. I want a chef, a trainer, and a housekeeper.
I would be perfect.
Those are the three things that I will get when I get in the financial place that I want to be in.
That's it. That's a trainer and a housekeeper.
And I'm perfectly okay with that.
Me too.
That doesn't make me feel horrible about myself at all. It's just I want meals when I want them, how I want them, and I don't feel like preparing them.
Yep.
And so that's fine with me. I refuse to cook. That's fine with me. I have to, and I do.
You can cook or a chef.
I want a chef. I'm okay with that. And I'm just, you know, it's... Or
at the least, someone who's fine with that. The fact that you won't be cooking, you know? Yeah.
And it's so interesting when I ask older couples what has kept them together. And just, I mean, the folks that's been married for 60, 70, 80 years, they're like, I cook a home-cooked meal every night. That's why I'm not married. That's why I can't get that together. I haven't been able to figure that out. But
nobody doing home cooking every night.
Right.
You can't do it every night. And I love to cook. I love to cook. And I still don't cook every night.
Yeah. Unless that's all you're doing.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. If you have anything else to do during the day, that's probably not happening.
And sometimes it's nice just to have food brought in or let somebody else cook and be served or go out. Yeah.
See, that's my vice, is going out anyway. I prefer to go get a nice fancy meal, a glass of wine, a dessert, an appetizer, the main, I mean, just give me a 7-course meal 4 times a week and I'm perfectly fine.
I'll be fine with that too.
And it's not happening from me, so.
Thank you for listening to another episode of The Black Is Break. We'd love to hear your thoughts on the subject. Hit us up, let us know what you think. You can reach us on Facebook at Black Is Magazine, on Twitter at Black Is Online. You can hit us up via email at kc@blackisonline.com. Leave a message on the hotline, 323-455-4219. You can always check us out on our website, blackisonline.com. Thanks again.